Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Paul Enos, the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, talking about the governor's state of the state. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Howard Rosenberg, Jesse Wadhams, and Chris Wicker. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Paul Enos, the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Sammy, thanks for having me.
The governor's state of the state, what was your highlights and lowlights?
Well, I think the highlights are no new taxes. I mean, I think
except on marijuana.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm not too concerned with that one. I mean, the last time I smoked weed, Sam, I said I never need to do this again ever in my entire life. So, I mean, yeah, tax the hell out of weed. I wasn't in favor of the ballot initiative. You know, I think that is something we are going to have to look at as a business community moving forward, how we create the laws so you still have a business being able to tell their employees, yes, this is a legal substance, but you cannot be at work high. For my guys, especially my truck drivers, they can't do that because it's a safety sensitive position. So we're really going to need to take a look this legislative session on how Nevada moves forward, you know, in terms of all of our economic development efforts, in terms of trying to get high-tech manufacturing here. The last thing those people want is a high employee.
All right. But let's talk about, you know, the legal aspect of this, which is the legislature is going to have to come up with an accurate formula for how to test if somebody is actually high or not. Because if they smoke marijuana, it can be in the bloodstream for 30 days.
Yeah. See, you and I both know that, Sammy, from our misspent youth, right? Or maybe for
you,
misspent
middle age. I just read about
it in the New York Times. No, that's true. And I know that has been a challenge, you know, in places like Colorado and Washington State where this has been legalized. So, I mean, I anticipate the business community being involved in, you know, maybe we take a look, as other states have done, what are those safety sensitive positions where a business can say, hey, if you are in this line of work, if you are this type of employee, then yes, a business owner, an employer still has the right to tell that employee, no, weed is off limits.
Okay. And are you doing that as an association with your members? Are you sitting down?
Well, I know it's a conversation. I know it's a conversation with a number of us in the business community. I mean, honestly, for my members, for my truck drivers, it's federal law. Federal law prohibits you from doing it. So, you know, it's not going to be as big of an impact for us as it is for some other industries. You know, if you're in light manufacturing, you know, even some construction work. So,
and let me make the point here that while I'm totally in favor of legalized marijuana for recreational purposes, I am totally against anybody driving or working in a position. I don't want my brain surgeon coming in having smoked a joint the night before. Or 2 days before, for that matter. So obviously, you know, and nobody would want to see anybody driving on the roads that was impaired. $60 million.
That's why you need robots, Sammy. You know, that's why, you know, autonomous vehicles. I mean, the sooner we get those on the road and rolling, the better off we all are.
Okay, how realistic do you think that is? We're talking now about semi-autonomous vehicles going down Virginia Street. As part of a new RTC plan.
It absolutely is realistic. I mean, the technology's there.
No, you I know, but
it
I mean,
can
time
be
frame,
done.
But time frame.
Well, time frame. So, you know, in our industry, Peterbilt is going to start producing an autonomous truck next year for the market. Freightliner in 2015, it had the first autonomous vehicle in the country, it was driven here in the great state of Nevada. So we do see it. It is coming. There is a bill this legislative session, AB 69, where we tighten up some of the regulations in terms of autonomous vehicle. And we also loosen it up to allow for passenger service in autonomous vehicles. So Nevada still is on that forefront. I think we do have a challenge with some other states that want to get into this area, states like Colorado, states like Ohio. We're gonna need to make sure that we have the best regulatory environment to allow this type of technology to flourish.
Do you have concerns? You know, I mean, anybody who uses a computer, which is everybody, knows that computers have problems. You know, drives crash, et cetera. How many backup systems does an autonomous truck, for example, have to have before you would say
about
that this?
Four. So, I mean, that's kind of the industry standard, and it's a very similar to an airplane. I mean, airplanes, they have autopilot. We've had autopilot on airplanes for, you know, almost the last half century. So it's very similar to an autopilot on an airplane. And, you know, especially for an 80,000 pound rig going down the road, you're going to need a driver there in case something does happen in that system. And, you know, on top of that, you want to make sure that that freight in the back that, you know, ranges from thousands to millions of dollars, that you have somebody there watching it. So, you know, it's not hijacked. So something doesn't happen to the load.
So you don't anticipate, in terms of autonomous vehicles, there being nobody on board. There's going to be somebody on board no matter what.
In terms of autonomous trucks, yes. You know, we anticipate somebody being on board. Now, we could have platooning where you may have a lead truck where there is somebody there and, you know, maybe a truck following them doesn't have a driver, but there will still be somebody in that convoy, in that movement.
ESAs are looking to be one of the hot buttons for perhaps the end of the session. The governor puts in $60 million into his budget. The treasurer immediately says, well, that's nice, but it's not nearly enough.
Well, I mean, really, it's going to be up to the policymakers to determine that. You know, that is an executive branch function. That's something that our legislative branch is going to determine how much money goes to ESAs. I don't see the program moving forward as it was passed in 2015. I could see a means test put on it. I could see it be only used for failing schools. It would be different if you had the elephants in charge instead of the donkeys. But since you don't, I think we are going to see some changes to ESAs.
And the teachers union obviously is very much against this, and the Clark County School District is against this. They say they already
are, because I mean, these people are protectors of status quo. And when you look at our public education system, especially in two of the biggest districts in the state, we have a lot of schools that are failing our kids. I mean, I look right here in Reno at Hug High School, and I it breaks my heart to see how difficult it is to get a good education in a place like Hug and get out and be ready for the workforce or ready for college. So I think it's great to be able to give people that haven't had that option before the ability to take that money that would have gone to that school, or it's a, you know, any school where they don't have that means, and be able to have a choice in education. So, I mean, I personally think it's a good thing.
All right, let's take a break. More with Paul Enos when we come back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Paul Enos. He's the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. $21 million in workforce development. Is this enough? And looking at the community colleges, it still looks like they're getting nailed.
I think the community colleges are getting nailed. I think that is an issue. You know, it was interesting yesterday. We saw Senator Mo Dennis. He has a bill to make community colleges free. You know, that's it'll be interesting to see where we come up with the money for that. You know, from our standpoint, Sam, from the trucking industry, we need more truck drivers. We need more employees. We do try to go out there and recruit. And I mean, we have a little bit of a difficult thing to try to recruit out of high school because it's almost impossible to hire a truck driver right out of high school who's 18 years old. Most insurance companies say you have to be 21 at least. And a lot of them will say you have to be 25 before we'll insure that person getting in the rig. So for us, that is a difficult thing. I'd like to see maybe some of that money go, you know, in workforce development, go to trucking, especially a state like Nevada, where 92% of our freight is delivered by truck. So we need to make sure that we have those drivers. But also, when you look at the new technology that we are seeing employed in our vehicles, you know, getting back to autonomous vehicles, that's also an area that we have to look at. Because being a diesel mechanic today takes about $80,000 for somebody to get the tools and get the training to become a diesel mechanic. It's going to be even more expensive and require even a greater education. When we see more technology, such as autonomous vehicles come out, such as sensors, such as connected vehicles, and that is going to be a challenge that Nevada is going to need to start thinking about to meet. Right now, for computer programmers, you're competing with, you know, these sexy companies, Google and Apple and Uber, and to say, hey, I'm, you know, Freightliner, you know, and I wanna hire some computer programmers for our connected vehicles. Not as sexy. So that is a challenge too. So we do need to look at, you know, where we are going as a country, where we see the future going, and not just in transportation, but across, you know, all industries. And how are we going to develop a workforce that makes sense? I do think community college, for some of those jobs that don't, you know, that don't require, you know, a 4-year degree, don't require that skill level, is the right place. They have been decimated. We'll see if there is a change between the community colleges, the governing system. Are they still going to be governed by the Board of Regents? I know there's some folks, and we've had them on the show, right, that have been pushing that. So we'll see where that goes. It, once again, may have been a little different if you had elephants in control instead of donkeys.
Let me ask you this, though. I know the builders have been out in the community across the state trying to get people to enter into the trades instead of necessarily going on to college, and talking about all the good high-paying jobs that are there. I think with computer technology, that it's a marketing question, that if you can market to the kids that are excited about technology, that are looking at maybe the Googles and the Apples, et cetera, to get into, but you can offer them an exciting field in other careers.
Well, you know, it used to be, you know, in terms of cars, you know, cars were a sexy thing. I mean, you know, I still think cars are, I mean, I love cars. I'm a car guy. We don't necessarily have that with this next generation. We're with millennials and younger, where cars aren't as big of a deal as they were in my generation. I'm a Generation X, or definitely for you and baby boomers. I mean, a car isn't, you know, for me, a car was freedom. You know, a car meant sex, because you could get out of the parents' house and, you know, have as much fun as you wanted away from mom and dad. We don't see that today. So, you know, there is a little bit of a disconnect between, you know, how we view automobiles and how these younger generation view automobiles as well.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, in the way that you sell the idea, you know, computer technology is computer technology. If you can get somebody involved and excited about that.
Well, I will tell you, when we go to schools and we do go to career fairs, you know, as the Nevada Trucking Association, and we do talk to kids in junior high and high school about careers in trucking. And one of the things that gets them more excited than anything is when we start to talk about connected vehicles, when we talk about autonomous vehicles, when we show them the video of the Freightliner truck with the driver behind the wheel, but he's got his iPad and he's checking his load and he's answering emails and he's doing other things, and he still has that freedom of the open road. So that is something that does get them excited, and it's better, you know, than, you know, being a pilot and having to be in control of that 80,000-pound vessel as you go down the road all the time.
What did you think about the announcement about Tesla's expansion?
I think that's great. I know we've seen a lot of criticism on Tesla. I I'm praying for its success. I'm praying for success because, you know, Tesla's success is now tied to Northern Nevada's success. So, no, I think that's a good thing. And I hope, Sam, someday, and I don't know if it's in the near future, we can get to a point where we do economic development initiatives, not with special sessions for particular companies, but where we have good public policy that broadly impacts everybody so everybody can take advantage of that. I hope that we can get there in the future. I know that's been a criticism of Tesla and one that I have as well. But I do think it's a success story. I do think the governor deserves credit for that. And hey, I think everybody here in the North and the whole state is praying for them to succeed.
Absolutely. Pauline, it's always a pleasure, sir.
Hey, thanks, Sammy.
Talk to you later. Bye.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Chris Wicker is here, the spokesman for the Washoe Dems, Jesse Wadhams off council with Fenimore Craig, and Howard Rosenberg. Pleasure to have you all here. So let's start out, Howard, with the money for the ESAs and your thoughts on the ESAs.
What are ESAs?
Educational Savings Accounts.
All those where we're going to take money and we're going to let them go to any school they want to go to. It doesn't work. All we're going to do is create a bunch of ghetto schools. It will not work. It's been tried before. It won't work. You cannot teach children who don't want to learn. The problem isn't the schools. The problem is getting the kids ready to go to school and then backing the teachers all through the school. What we're using now for accountability is if a child learns, it's because he's brilliant. If he doesn't learn, it's because it's the lousy teacher. That's not true, Sam. It isn't true at all.
Jesse, that's not the feeling of folks of a legislature, correct?
Well, clearly the legislature has an interesting spot in this because you've got the Democrats now saying essentially during Aaron Ford's response, it's really seems to be a non-starter. And then you've got the Republicans with Governor Sandoval essentially staking out the only position where there was a great deal of daylight in the state of the state between he and sort of the broad legislative body. They're going to have a great debate, I guess, on this to see if there is any level of compromise.
Chris, do you think this is going to be a big deal at the end of the session?
No, I think that the big deal during the session will be what will the $60 million be diverted to? I think, you know, community colleges or teacher bonuses for schools that are failing or something like that. But, you know, the ESAs, that's one of those issues that most of the Democrats I know feel so strongly about that I don't see the Democrats voting to it. Now, there might be some variation, like Paul was talking about, where there might be a special allocation to either means testings or some certain schools. But the ESA, as envisioned by our state treasurer, are a non-starter.
Howard, you wanted to jump in there?
The thing for me is we have to understand what education is. And we're not using schools as an employment agency. That only gives us a beginning. What you need to do is have the respect that one needs for the teacher who is working really, really hard. I watched one teacher for a week fill out an SLO, Student Learning Outcomes. It took 40 hours in addition to being with the kids for the better part of 7 hours a day. How would you like to have in your classroom the child that you sent to school so you can get rid of him for 5 or 6 hours, and the teacher is stuck with that kid, who may not be behaving the way he should, times 40? Try teaching. I challenge you.
But, Jesse, do you really think that all that money is going to get diverted to other things? I mean, the governor has made a big stake, and certainly for parochial schools, I would sense that he is greatly in favor of those.
I would tend to agree that he is certainly in favor of that, at least from my read of him. As to fully diverting, I mean, again, I think this comes down to, it is really, at the end of the day, when you break down the state of the state and the Democratic response, ESAs really is the only massive difference between where the governor appears to want to take the state, the good news of the budget, and then where the Democrats kind of want to stake out their agenda. It is the only point of contact that has some friction, at least at the early stages of the session. Now, sessions all kind of right. go the way they go.
And already threats of being there all summer.
Exactly. So we'll see how this goes. But I think in terms of, say, the implementing the governor's budget, or excuse me, the governor's agenda, the Democrats have this to hold over him, but he has this likewise over there.
It also strikes me that, you know, this is the most attention that's been given to the minority party's response to a state of a state in my memory.
I would definitely agree with that. I it seems to be that while we've had the minority response for a number of years, folks are taking it a little more seriously, or at least paying more attention to it.
I don't see that the governor has any leverage on trying to push through the ESAs, and I think it's in part because the governor staked out a very middle ground in his state of the state.
Okay, I would have to point out that the governor has plenty of leverage in just about everything, and especially the power of the veto pen. We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
As always, you can listen to Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next podcast.